have different feel different in December than it does in festival time. You know, because even the locals find it different this time of year, the food, the weather, the atmosphere, the mood, everything is so different.
It's definitely for me different. I don't have to modern schedule. That's why actually I would have liked to stay for the whole month. But barring any divine intervention.
That could be arranged. We know people.
You can arrange it. And,
okay.
It's still Mayapur. So I don't know if it was Mayapur, even just being in Calcutta. Calcutta was already such a different atmosphere. I won't say spiritual, but sort of semi-spiritual, and brings so many remembrances of Prabhupada and and Bengalis, whatever they are, they're still the creme de la creme. Okay. At least karma-wise, if not behavior-wise.
yeah, true.
That's how, I don't know, was it 76 or 77? I think it was 76 in Prabhupada. That was his greeting address when we had the festival first morning. He was greeting all the devotees. Mm-hmm. Said that Earth is the most auspicious place because Krishna appeared here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Says on the Earth, best place is India because it was specifically here that they took their birth. And in India, Navadvip is the best place, and Navadvip Mayapur is the best place, and in Mayapur, there's Chandradoya Mandir, so everyone was sharing. Prabhupada said there's a Janmasthan where Lord Chaitanya appeared, but this is Lord Chaitanya's Karmasthan, where we're doing Lord Chaitanya's mission. One of the two things, the karma is more important than the janma. I like to actually, maybe we can take Julie on a tour of construction.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, because I missed out last year, or this year. Yeah, that's something we can do while she's here, and then it means to spend time with her, but it's also doing something that I like to see.
And she's going to want to know about it anyway. She's It's the elephant in the room. It's taken over the room.
Literally, it's really, really extraordinary.
Since you went to the Radha Govindaji Mandir here in Kolkata and Prabhupada's place, didn't you go a few years ago?
Radha Govindaji, Prabhupada's place I've never been to.
Oh.
I've never been to Prabhupada's place.
Well, when you were just talking a few minutes ago about Kolkata, it made me think that, you know, that now is a good time, you know, this month.
Yeah.
It's a nice time to go to that side of town. It's so beautiful this time of year. Easy to move around in Kolkata because it's cool. isn't it?
It was very pleasant. Very, very pleasant.
I bet it goes there often.
And then let's see how it all time was. Anyone have any questions?
I heard my little sadhana used to be that you get up around 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30.
Used to be. I'd like to get back there. Yeah. I don't remember, but yes, when I was doing the Vajramamaya, that's when things changed. I ended up staying at 1:30, but I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning, or 2 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes 3, because when I got going in the evening and I couldn't just stop. And that's... I've always tried to do that, rising early. Because it's the best time to do anything. Whether it be japa or... there for Mangalartik now, just to get things done. So Prabhupada would call it morning duties, to get up at least 3, and to do other devotional, more devotional activities than it would. Good. The consciousness is just getting up early in the morning. Getting up early in the morning and taking a cold shower. Early in the morning I can do a cold shower, now it's getting more difficult. Cold shower in the morning when I get frozen or I catch a cold automatically. Unless I'm in very warm weather. And then you want to take a cool shower in the morning.
You find you get more out, obviously the quality of your activity because of that improves, but you get more hours, you don't peter out early.
I always, for over 30 years, I always take rest after lunch. But when I was at Coimbatore, the doctors sort of wouldn't let us rest after lunch. So now I got in the habit of not necessarily having to rest after lunch, which is good. And if you eat lightly, then it works. If you don't eat lightly, then it doesn't. Just a second. That's that time of day is the ideal time of day. The Prabhupada also said between midnight and 2 in Vrindavan, that's the best time. When I used to go to Vrindavan, I used to get up at midnight and I'd go to sleep early if you can, and then get up at midnight. It's just that early rising automatically puts one in a Krishna conscious frame of mind. And we used to have to get up. I know when we joined in Montreal, we had one bathroom, one toilet for men and women. Interesting, it was the women who had to get up. The men started using the bathroom at 3, so the women had to get up earlier. devotees. They were the ones who were doing all the deity worship stuff. But anyway. You get up early and warm. But there's no such thing as a warm shower. We didn't have a warm faucet. We didn't have a warm temple president in those days. You get kicked out of a temple for taking a warm shower in the morning. Well, in the Montreal temple, it was just the whole bathroom was originally as a bowling alley. It was just a toilet with I can't remember where the shower. It was just placed in, and they didn't cut it off. They didn't put it in. But it was just a cold, and that's all there was. Just cold water. In other places. Yeah, when I came to the manor in 1980, in the Brahmachari bathroom, which was sort of the Sashara stalls with designed like horse stalls, it was there was only a cold tap. There was no such thing as a warm tap, and you really gotta wake up right away. And warm, you just. Not the same, take a cold shower. But when Prabhupada was in Edinburgh, he said the Buddhists didn't have to take cold showers. He said they could take warm showers.
Yeah,
of
course.
Maybe warm through the day.
Quite inhuman European winter cold showers.
Yes, cold showers in India is sort of one thing, and cold showers. North America, but when we had when devotees first moved on the farm in Hungary, then actually on the second year the men moved up into the barn. They had a barn and they lived in the barn. They had one cow, but they lived in the barn. And there was nothing up there. There was no water. Water you had to pull from a well, and they would put it in a barrel, a big 40-gallon barrel. And when they get up in the morning of the winter, they would break the ice on top of the barrel, and that's how they took showers. Sankirtan. When we were traveling Sankirtan, I remember going to Canada, going to mountain streams, and it was cold. I would just dive in. I remember once when we stopped at a lay-by, I don't know what they call it in outside of England, but and a road stop, and there was a stream going under the road, and it was a road, a motorway, and we got up early in the morning, 4 o'clock, and we were just out there. Brahmacharis Arada and the bathing out there, and all of a sudden this police car pulls up with his lights flashing, and we're just standing there. I think we must have had buckets, maybe with buckets on the side of the road. Guys couldn't quite, policemen couldn't figure out what we're doing. Well. realize we have to take, do things like that, and beds. Beds was another thing that really came in later. There was no question of beds, no question of mats. We just had it, slept on sleeping bags. We slept on a sleeping bag, on it, in it. And that was it. They were good days.
You were lucky to have a sleeping bag, right?
No. Yeah. Oh, we didn't have possessions. We didn't have clothes. It wasn't like you had your own clothes. That was a big... Someone did laundry, and then they threw all the clothes, which was in this big barrel, and in the morning you got up, and starting from Kalpin, Stability, to Kirti, you just pulled whatever was there, you pulled it up and you put it on. No one had their own clothes, own anything. That was Brahmacharya's Grihastha. It was saying for everyone. Yeah, we didn't see it. And then at night you just threw it in the dirty bin. Next day you have something else.
Was that a devotee innovation? Or
I don't know.
He wanted to develop a culture. He wanted to develop a fully fledged community. He didn't want that to be the standard for everyone, surely.
You were quick to answer.
No, it doesn't make sense that was a standard he wanted to impose on everyone. That sounds like a, that's a Brahmacharya standard.
But Mara said before that it didn't necessarily make me Krishna conscious. No, it was the psychology of discipline.
And it's also that, I remember Bhakti Dijaparamaraj giving a class years ago saying that too much austerity, too much over-endeavour is beside the point. It creates so much more difficulty. Hardens the heart, but it also creates more work for you, and it just detracts from actual your constitution, your savor, what you're meant to be doing.
It was just standard, and how it came about. But it came about by what devotees had understood from Srila Prabhupada, that was our, because certainly it wasn't the way we were living before, and that was sort of our culture. But it wasn't because you started with that, it wasn't austerity. In other words, it was just, well, that's life.
But speaking of Bhakti Vijayaparamaraj, the boys at that school, they don't live much differently. It might be organized, but it's still as simple as that.
Prabhupada makes that point with children taking cold showers. He says, if you teach them that it's make it fun, then they'll think it's play.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were in, I remember visiting in Dallas. Actually, it was when Prabhupada was there, and the Gurukul boys, they take shower at the same time as the men. It was the same bathroom, and they had this system with holes. They would hose them down with this big hose, with this big lawn hose, and yeah, they were. I don't know if anyone who went to Gurukul then listening, they may give a different opinion, but they would. It was like some kind of game for them. They were just jumping around and trying to. I don't know how clean they got, just getting hosed down. But,
it's an